Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, bless us with understanding and the things that are coming, and so we can cooperate with you. And thank you for a wonderful exhortation today to draw close to Jesus. Amen. Well, we called it, Get Ready. He's coming soon. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this first article, we're going to call it A Great Shifting and Shaking. Tiana Fire, 6:21-23. In my dream, we had all been talking about and discussing the plagues and destruction coming up upon the earth. But it seemed not yet, but far away. But suddenly, within an hour, God tipped the entire earth upside down. There were earthquakes, tsunamis, cyclones all around the globe, in places that they never thought could happen. All the influential places were now destroyed and devastated, and everything in the world as we know it stopped. Isaiah 13:13 says, Therefore I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Haggai 2:6-7 says, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the precious things of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord. Now, the precious things of all nations shall come. Things here is not in the original. The Hebrew is desire of all nations shall come. God's people in all nations are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Because of all the injustice and all the wickedness that's out there. Amen. And the infilling of glory in his temple is himself. He is filling his temple. So that's the desire of all nations. And he is coming in the first fruits temple of the man-child. Because he doesn't live to the extent of 100% in most of his people, but there is a full man-child ministry coming. Haggai 2:20-23. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel. This is representing the resurrected man-child. Zerubbabel, born from Babylon, it means. Governor of Judah. Saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. So all those that are chasing the people of God to bring them into captivity, like the faction, will be judged. The Red Sea of God's judgment is near. A faction in the faction is implied here. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, a signet is a sign of authority, like the ring of authority given to the man-child types of Mordecai, Joseph, and Zerubbabel. Okay, that's authority. That's caught up to the throne, right? Luke 21:11 says, And there shall be great earthquakes in diverse places, famines and pestilences, and there shall be terrors and great signs from heaven. Isaiah 64:1-3. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, and that the mountains might quake at thy presence. So there's the coming of the Lord and the earthquakes, right? As when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Presence again. And when thou didst terrible things which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains quaked at thy presence. Okay, I want you to consider something. You'll notice that the Lord comes in the midst of earthquakes, and our dreams show that they are the worst earthquakes that have ever happened, even dividing up the land, even all the way around the world, earthquakes, which kind of lets you know something else is going on. And the Lord has said that he is coming very quickly, and Isaiah showed that he will judge the Edomite faction first when he arrives. His recompense is before him, right? And we also have quite a few dreams that he will use the deep state and their plague to kill the factious, at least those who are non-elect. So, if you look around, I don't see these signs at the moment, and I suspect that it will not be on the 1st of July, which we were suggesting a possibility, but soon, because he did say he was coming soon, okay? Isaiah 62:11, Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, Say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Well, probably as a type and a warning to fear not these things that are coming, Tiana had this experience for those who see this come. She said, Fear tried to jump on me, and I cast it straight off. Get thee hence, Satan, as I knew God is in control of this. Even though I wasn't expecting this would happen so suddenly, I knew I could only trust God and his word and promises. I had to stay in his presence and joy, in his peace and joy, to be the light for everyone else around me, because I knew that the truth of the word. And I had to stay strong in Christ for everyone else. And we are to be an example and an ambassador for his kingdom. Yep, yep. It was like the earth had been tipped on its side. Well, Planet X is reputed to take our South Pole and pull it towards it when it passes by. And this would make opportunities for things and people to fall into cracks, holes all over the earth. And when the great earthquakes come around the world, as it faces Planet X, you see the earth turning and the face of Planet X, which is extremely magnetic and is wrecking it. So she went on to say, it tipped over a giant pit. In other words, it tipped, leading into this giant pit. And many things quickly fell into the hole, but other things were slowly sliding into the hole. But those in Christ in us were upright and couldn't be moved. And those that grabbed onto us, that is Christ in us, were kept from falling in. So he does save the righteous. Amen. But this is also a spiritual shaking, I'm saying, where everything will change for those in the world, with many receiving a fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. I mean, that's their beginning of wisdom. It has to happen. Things will also change for those abiding in Christ, believing to be chosen and to be in the bride, and when the latter rain anointing of the man-child ministry begins. With Revelation 6 judgments. Well, amen. And she said the judgments coming upon the world will surprise those that are unprepared, but those living in Jesus are expecting this, and they are prepared. Revelation 16 and 15 says, "Lo, I come as a thief. Blessed who watch and keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And also Matthew 24, 42 through 51. "Watch therefore, for you know not what day your Lord cometh. But know this, that if the housemaster had known what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be dug through. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is the faithful and wise bondman whom the Lord hath set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed that bondman whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Amen. And this is the NENT used very commonly here. Amen, I say unto you, that he will set him over all that he hath. But if that evil bondman shall say in his heart, "My Lord tarrieth," and shall begin to beat his fellow bondman, and shall eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that bondman shall come in a day when he expecteth not, and in an hour when he knoweth not, and shall severely scourge him, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 through 8 says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the Lord's day cometh as a thief at night. But when they are saying, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon the one with child, and they shall in no wise escape." Well, there are two Day of the Lord judgments, one smaller before the tribulation, at the end of the bride's testing by the factious, to take them down at the Red Sea experience, and then a larger one at the end of the tribulation to judge those who tested the church. The church is going into tribulation, but as you know, Moses went into his tribulation first and came back to bring them through theirs, and that's the way things are going. We had a mini tribulation before the tribulation. Verse 4, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as thieves. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as the rest, but let us watch and be sober. For who sleep at night, and who are drunken at night. But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on a breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, salvation's hope." In this article, we called Hold On to Jesus. That's the safe thing to do. Need to do that now. Now. This is Anonymous 5:20-23. "I was on a giant mountain, and I was very high up, and the air was fresh and clean. The sun was warm, and there was a beautiful view. On the right side, not far from an edge, Jesus was hanging from a cross, and he had much blood on him. All I wanted to do was hold on to him and hug him. So I climbed up and held on to him as he hung on the cross, and I didn't want to do anything else." And he says in a note, "The old man needs to stay on the cross." Yep, absolutely. I stayed there with him, and sometimes the breeze would get so very cold, but I didn't want to leave. The cold breeze represents attacks from the enemy and trials and tribulations that we must endure when we love the Lord. We never want to leave him, and we never want to go back to the ways of the world or the old man. Amen. He said, "Jesus' warmth strengthened me. The wind would get so strong, and it almost blew me off, but I held on tightly. I did not want to come down or let go. I only wanted to hug Jesus." Yes. Well, Galatians 2 and 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And also Romans 6, 4 through 7 came. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So death is a necessity. We received it by faith at baptism, right? And the one who came up out of that baptism was Jesus. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, so that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. A sister then came and climbed up and held on to Jesus with me. But then the wind became so very strong, and she slipped and almost fell to the area near the cliff. But I was able to grab her hand before she fell, and I held on to her tight, not wanting her to fall, and I used the strength of my right hand while still holding on to Jesus to pull her back up. She was able to grab onto the cross and then onto Jesus, and the two of us were again hugging and holding onto Jesus. Well, Jesus, through us, gives grace and strength to help each other to hold on to him. Psalm 73 and 23 says, Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden my right hand. Colossians 3, 12 through 15. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. Otherwise, you are lost, because you are not forgiven according to Jesus, right? And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Amen. And I think 2 Corinthians 1, 4 through 5 should suit this. Who comforteth us in all of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction, through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound unto us, even so our comfort also aboundeth through Christ. Amen. Okay, we call this five senses. Marie Kelton had this, 5:20 and 23. During the meeting, I had a vision of the inside of a cave, and I saw my spirit man drag in five black beings into the cave one by one. I knew that the five black beings were dead. Well, I believe this is representing the five senses of the natural man that are submitted to darkness due to the carnal nature, but must be overcome by the spirit man to take our spiritual land from the enemies. So we have to have a renewed five senses, spiritual five senses. The bride will have overcome the five senses. And this text came to mind, she said, Joshua 10:17, and it was told Joshua, saying, The five kings, that's the five carnal senses that rule the old man's life. The five kings are found hidden in the cave. The cave is the mouth. at Makkedah. And Joshua said, roll great stones unto the mouth of the cave and set men by it to keep them. Well, the stones are the word of God, as we already know, and it must restrain the mouth from speaking according to the old senses. As you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Yeah. Verse 22. Then said the Lord, open the mouth of the cave. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring forth these five kings unto me out of the cave. Well, these senses must be put to death to conquer our promised land of this nature and life. It must be. There's no other way. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave. And then a little further down on 24, Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the chiefs of the men of war that went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. So, and this is the reason for this, is so that they're not permitted to speak out of the mouth. The old man's senses cannot speak out of the mouth. They will ruin everything for you. The tongue conquers the curse, as our book. You can go read that and get a lot of understanding and edification. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus saith the Lord, do to all of your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and put them to death and hanged them on five trees. So this is the problem being taken care of. The cross took care of this problem. Romans 6:6-12 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, so that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, because it's a done deal, it's finished at the cross, even though we're going through the manifestation of this death, it is finished, okay? That's how our faith works. We consider it done. If we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And then in verse 11, even so, reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin. Consider it done, in other words, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And let not sin therefore, in other words, because you do this, because you reckon yourself to be dead unto sin because of what happened at the cross, because you do this, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof. Okay, and this is, we called it gold mist, and it was given to Tiana, again, 6:19-23. I saw the local and outreach brethren all gathered together in a circle in unity. And she doesn't live in this country, so she just saw it by faith, right? They all had this gold light radiating from each of them and all around and in between them and in the circle. The glow also was like mist all around them, except they were all clearly visible and part of the gold mist. So this gold represents the very valuable life of Christ. There's 30, 60, and there's 100, right? That's the gold. And it's given to us through the promises. Amen? We claim them. We look in the mirror and we see Jesus by faith, right? Every person had their arms raised in the air, praising and thanking God. That's power. It binds the demons. It binds the wicked out there. Psalm 149. And they were all ascending higher and higher, all together at the same time and in unity. The glow got bright the higher they got. and the greater God's presence got. I loved how everyone was ascending together as one in unity rather than each ascending at a different time. We are one. Amen. Amen. We call this the greater anointing is coming. Amos Skaggs, 6-3-2007. Amos passed on, but he was a good friend. The separation is coming. I saw a new bottle of HD, which is high detergent oil, opened, and the top portion poured out on the ground, as if to skim off the impurities. The major portion of it was to be poured in the oil tank where it belongs. HD, he says, or Harley Davidson, dominated the half-mile dirt track races in my time. Yes, that's true. The HD oil was poured in for the final run to win the race. I was a Harley rider, and although I rode the real fast Japanese bikes afterwards, God communicates to us in a fashion so we can understand. Yes, that's true. So, consider this note. I guess the small amount of oil poured on the earth is for the earthly early rain Christians, because let's face it, this is an earthly situation that we're in right now. And the great amount poured in the engine is for the anointed man-child at the first, and then to lead the body in the same anointing to win the race to the end. Because the man-child leads the body, right? Like Moses led the body through the wilderness, which is tribulation, right? So the small amount on the ground could be the early rain Christians who now are very earthly, and while the greater amount of the coming days could be the early and latter rain promised in Joel chapter 2, right? And that's the early and latter rain Christians under the man-child reformers, because they're going to be greatly empowered with the knowledge that they did not have to run the race, because there's a short time left, right? Haggai 2 and 9, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Well, high detergent oil is for cleaning up engines. You pour the whole bottle on me, Lord, and and get me ready for this. I appreciate it. And everyone out there ought to be saying the same thing. Lord, give us that anointing. Hallelujah. So, the man-child ministry manifests, we call this, and this was also Tiana 6:22-23. I saw Jesus in a dark city, in a dark world, with demons everywhere, and he was the height of a normal man. I felt that Jesus was representing all of us together as one. Well, let me just say that the first fruits to come into the image of Jesus in these days are the corporate body of the man-child, but through the revival that they bring, many will join them. Yeah, that's the whole point. The first fruits are not the only fruits, they're just the first fruits, right? So, in maybe a millisecond, she said, he grew so tall, taller than a skyscraper, and every single demon was in extreme fear and terror, shaking and trembling. They were frozen and couldn't move from fear, as they all knew, and Jesus knew their time was done. Well, Philippians 2:10-11, she gives, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in the heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. Amen. All right, we call this our protector. Marie Kelton, 5:12-23. During the meeting, I had an open vision of the Lord. The Lord was huge and really tall. She said, this represents the corporate body of the man-child who is quickly joined by the bride and then later the true church. Amen. That's the sequence it was in the Gospels. Jesus came. He raised up the bride. John called the bride. John the Baptist called the bride. And they went out to raise up the fivefold ministry and raise up the church. And all this is going to, as you know, it has to happen pretty quickly once it starts. I was only able to see the bottom of this linen garment and his linen garment and sandals on his feet. I saw the Lord walking, and as he walked, the floor cracked in front of him. The cracks on the floor looked like fault line cracks. Oh ho. So here he comes again with earthquakes, right? I then heard a voice say, when he walked, the earth trembled. Psalm 68:8. The earth trembled. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Yon Sinai trembled at the presence of God, the God of Israel. In other words, he has come again with earthquakes. Psalm 77:18. The voice of thy thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Psalm 114:7. Tremble thou, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. That's because he's here. The earth is shaking because he's here. Amen. So we call this one Supper with Jesus. Supper. Tiana gave this one, 6:22-23. I saw the local and UBM brethren all together sitting around a rectangular table for a meal. They hadn't yet eaten, but all the food was already prepared. Jesus was sitting at the very far end of the table, at the head. Our Lord and King's position, yeah. And he was glowing and so much brighter and more pure than white. And the sun, of course, shines so brightly. He was speaking with everyone and instructing them with love and compassion. But I don't know what he was saying. But I knew that he was there to eat with all of us so that we will be energized and be ready for what he wants us to do next. Well, at his return in the man-child body to lead his people through the wilderness tribulation, greater works will be done. And this is, of course, the seven-day marriage feast, the last 7 years on earth before going home to heaven to the marriage supper, right? Amen. Which is in the groom's home, which is, of course, heaven, right? So Luke 22:14-18. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I shall not eat it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he received a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I shall not drink from henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And this is instant deliverance. Again, Anonymous 6:24-23. I saw us all in refuge, and there was utter chaos all around the world. It was only Jesus in all of the brethren. There were no devils there, because they could not hide in anyone's thoughts or flesh, because the light and the Spirit of Christ was so powerful and strong. There were no more half-truths and half-lies, no more sometimes manifesting Jesus and sometimes not. It was either fully Jesus or fully the devil on earth. The new believers that got the revelation of Christ, when they came to Jesus and to the refuge, they would have instant deliverance from being in the presence of Jesus. The demons in anyone were not able to hide. There was a complete separating in soul and body when someone got the revelation of Jesus. They grew so quick and faster than we have ever seen. If it was someone's will to be only Jesus, they would have it, and all demons would go without a fight. And, of course, this is talking about Zion, too. Zion is the foundation of it all. The Lord is going to go to the world through Zion, the Bible tells us, you know. Jesus walked down the street in a vessel, and it caused demonized people to flee. They could not be in his presence. They feared and trembled. Those that saw the light and those that God gave grace to come to him would see the light and run to it. And with them, in agreement with the word, the devils will have to flee as soon as they repented. The presence was so strong that no person, factious person, or someone that was against the word was able to stay around the brethren, because all of the devils were completely driven away. Jesus in everyone saw all the spirits in each person, and there was no deception because Jesus saw all lies, because Jesus is only truth. The discernment was in black and white. Nothing was hidden. Everything was the light. It was instantaneous deliverance and complete healing for individuals and multiple people in great numbers. Faith was poured out greater than ever, and people would believe things we never thought were possible. The enemy was completely exposed and literally couldn't even hide because of how great the light of Jesus was. People were gathered in perfectly to the refuge, and only the Lord would ordain who was there. It was orchestrated with miracles and wonders. For example, someone in Africa wakes up and walks out of their shack, and they realize they aren't even in Africa anymore. And they look behind them, and the shack is gone, because they got translated to the refuge. A man driving with his family, and the direction was to turn left, but he just turned right instead, and they just ended up at the refuge. Yes, we've been told this for a long time. Translations were going to be a regular thing to bring people there, and miracles were going to keep people away, too. So, do you really want me, is what we call this one, Anonymous 624. The spiritual and physical are merging together as one. There is no fence sitting. What someone is in the spiritual will completely manifest in the physical. There is no hiding. The devils will manifest through their vessels stronger than ever, and Jesus in his vessels will manifest greater than ever. The war of heaven and hell are appearing together on earth in the physical. Every soul will be forced to choose one. Revelation 12, 7 through 12. And the war was in heaven, Michael and his angels going to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred and his angels, and he prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in the heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, the one called Devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole inhabited earth. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven, saying, Now is the salvation and the power and the kingdom become our God's, and the authority is become his Christ. For the accusers of our brethren are cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. What an awesome thing, right? And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and ye that tabernacle in them. Woe for the earth and the sea, because the devil is gone down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short season. Do not fear. My son, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. I am love. Accept my love and reject rejection. You are chosen for this time. You have been chosen as a vessel for my love to flow through. Heaven will be here through you. There is nothing any of you can do yourself. It is all me and my grace. Just rest in my presence and believe me, and I will manifest it all. I have already done all. All you need to do is to rest. Yes, it's all been accomplished. Exactly. Meditate on me. Keep your mind on me. Keep your body focused on me. When you don't feel my love and peace, stop everything and think and look to me. Choose me and my holy presence every moment. When you go out of me, come back to me. Everyone with me right now is 100% in my presence, and there is no going back and forth out of me. All of me in you is what I want. It is not your desires. It is my desire that I gave to you. I want to manifest through you more than you want me to. I want to use you for my glory and my praise. I need vessels that will choose me and my ways every moment. I am bringing heaven here on earth, and it is already here, and I am here now, and I will increase to the extent that you allow me. I will do what you allow me to do. Forget all worldly desires and distractions. I can fill your stomach without food. I give you energy without sleep. I am beyond anything you see and understand in the physical, and I will do greater works than you can imagine. Recognize the demons of rejection, unworthiness, as lies and pure evil. Rejection and unworthiness are what the demons will experience for eternity. They want to take you with them. But I have chosen you, and I have brought you with my son's blood. I have cleansed you, and am already prepared you for me to manifest through you. Everything is my works. I planned and wrote all before the world's foundation. I am, and everything is about me. So many of you are battling these demons of rejection, self-rejection, pride, and other lies. The demons are tricking you to think that you are separated from me, but you are not. You are closer to me than you can comprehend. Stop believing these lies. Stop being jealous and envious of your brethren. All and everything are from me. See me behind all vessels, good and evil. It is me in your brethren. It is all of me, and everything is my grace. Each of you are created for a specific purpose, and there is no other vessel that can be used for the same purpose that you were created for. Each of you are completely unique, and there is no other person in existence like you. Let go of pride. All is me. There is no pride in heaven. Lucifer is without me because of his pride. Reject it. I am all and in all. Is my will now. and forever. I am all that will ever be. No soul with me right now has pride with them. No soul with me has rejection or jealousy or anything evil with them. These are devils, and you need to recognize them and let them go. Rejection is a giant demon and the biggest lie, and it only wants you to feel rejected because it is rejected by me. I have not rejected you. I have known you before existence, and I knew all you will go through. I wrote your entire life, and you are already here with me and your brethren now for eternity. What you know as of time and the physical realm is coming to a close, and you will be walking in the spiritual. Heaven is here through you, and it is going to manifest in full. Remember, everything is my grace. Ask me for humility. It is a gift from me. Ask me for any kind and all of your needs, little and big. You have not because you ask not. Ask me and believe, and you will receive. I am all. I want to give you more than you know, but I won't give it to you unless it is what you want. Lucifer wanted pride, so he was given pride, and the consequences of it. Those with me wanted to be one with me, and they are now here with me. And what you want, you will receive, as I don't give you what you don't want. I give you what you want. You have free will, and I will not force my love on you. I will not force you to be with me now and for eternity. That is up to you. Do you really want me to manifest through you? Do you really want to let go of everything that isn't holy? Do you really want my pure holy love and spirit in full? Do you want the 100% manifestation of my Son in all aspects of your existence, including the physical? Ask me and believe, and you will receive, not for yourself, but for me. It is for my glory, my praise, my honor. I am all and through all and in all. Now and forever, it is all for me. I am that I am. 2 Corinthians 4:11 says, "For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh." That's this body right now. Completely all. And this was given to Anonymous 6:22-23. "When I had this experience, everything I wrote, I felt and saw as if it had fully manifested. And it was so real and alive and true. And I desired that I could have stayed in this experience. It was maybe like 10 to 30 seconds of seeing and feeling all of this. And it was so real, and I am so excited for us all to have this connection with God every moment, no matter what is going on, and to have His holy connection with each other and being one together without spot or blemish. I was praying in tongues, and I saw that very soon we are all going to be so connected to God. We already are, but it will physically manifest that we will hear His voice extremely clear every moment. And we know it is Him without doubt and unbelief. That we will constantly be speaking to Him back and forth more than we speak to any human. And when awake and asleep, our soul will be communing with Him just as the Holy Spirit does." Ephesians 3 and 18 says, "May be strong to apprehend," not comprehend, as some versions say, "to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. That's everything that Jesus is. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Just to let you know that this is not pie in the sky stuff. It's right out of the scriptures. The flesh will be so suppressed and submissive to the Holy Spirit, and we will be so in tune with God. We know and obey what He wants with extreme joy in every moment, without complaint and without the flesh trying to stop us. We will have such boldness to have Him speak through us with no fear of man or fear of rejection. These things that try to hinder us from being and living as Jesus won't even try to hinder us anymore. We will know 100% that He is in us and all around us, and we are one with Him. Him literally here is in this physical flesh, and the flesh in agreement without hindrance. Amen. That's the white horse. I've talked about it before. It represents the flesh that should be submissive and carries about the spiritual man, right? Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, just remember that, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So ask big. That we would know and be living and breathing His word, not from our own works and in His strength, but from His Spirit and grace in our soul. Every second we will know it is His grace, and we will rest beyond understanding because we are in Him and Him in us, no matter what is going on around us. Our soul will be fully content with this, and nothing can stop it, and the flesh will submit. We will know Jesus' authority in us over the enemy, and the enemy will flee with one word or thought, because it's just Jesus in us. No more struggling with the flesh, but just being in Him. 1 Corinthians 15 and 28. And when all things have been subjected unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subjected to Him that did subject all things unto Him, that God may be all in all. All in all. Think about that. So, back to Him, He said, what can constantly freely praise and worship Him every moment with no temptation to complain, murmur, or doubt? Our soul is completely free to praise as the Holy Spirit desires, and free to worship God with our body in the physical being submitted to doing all God wants. All of this while on earth in this physical body, alive in Christ, I saw that the brethren will be in complete unity because of Jesus, and the enemy won't be able to get in the way of oneness in Christ. Amen. No jealousy, no pride, no rejection, no battles of the flesh, but pure holy love one to another, loving each other as we love ourselves, and serving each other as Christ serves. We will be one with no separation, no superiority, equal together in Christ, all different members, but all one body working together in unity like the human body. So connected, it's as if we are reading each other's mind and in agreement in our minds and souls and spirit, and the flesh is submitted, that everything flows perfectly because we are all constantly connected and in tune with God and in tune with each other. Amen. So that our faith is complete with God, that we have not even a tiny doubt, And we know that what we ask, we immediately receive because it's Christ in us. That which we command and speak into the physical is immediately manifested because Jesus in us is communing with the Father every second. The enemy doesn't even try his normal tactics of unclean thoughts and feelings because he knows we won't even accept or look at it. I knew that we will see and experience things we can't even imagine right now, but it is all for God's glory, and it will be only Jesus in us. We can't do anything to make this happen, but have faith in His grace to do it through us for His glory. Everything is for Him, now and forever. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So we have to see the end from the beginning. That's what faith does. That's mine. When I see Jesus in the mirror, that's who I am, right? New training level, Samuel 5, 6:22-23. You are now in a new level of training. This is an exercise of the tests and application of my word. Speak and hold to the miracles that I have promised. Many are showing others who are younger in the walk to have a go when in doubt or little experience. See how one who prays and praises in faith can move a miracle. And then others will add their belief, and suddenly the power multiplies many times more and spreads beyond even the first person who prayed. The effects go to areas and new heights where no one had even thought. I am beyond the imagination or impossibility. You all are my vessel. I will flow through you all as a holy army. I landed on testifying in NENT, 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. As you know how we were exhorting you, each of you, as a father his own children, and encouraging and testifying that you should walk worthily of the God that called you into his own kingdom and glory. Amen. So true. So true. Lord, we know great things are coming. This latter rain is going to empower many to walk fully in you, and they are going to be powerhouses in this earth. We believe it in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it so much, Lord. Amen.